You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast.
We welcome Steve Reed back to the studio, and with him he has Nico Zili from Northlink TVET, and they're going to be talking about or asking the question, can an institution be entrepreneurial? Hello, Steve. Welcome back.
Hello, Richard. Thank you very much. Hello, listeners, and it's my pleasure to have Nico Zili from Northlink TVET College with me as well. We're on a journey looking at a couple of institutions. 2 weeks ago, we looked at this very radio station. And now we're looking at can a TVET college be entrepreneurial? So I'd love you to introduce yourself, and then we're going to dive in to that question.
Thank you, Steve, and thank you, Richard, and the radio station. And thank you to the listeners who's listening to this broadcast, because without listeners, what is a radio station at the end of the day? But yes, I'm a born and bred Cape Town, grew up in Bellville. After schooling there, you know, went to the army, came back and got stuck in banking for a couple of years since 1986, 2000, and then did the freelancing route for about 21 years. In that time span, got married, you know, now 29 years. For some still spring chicken, I believe. And then, two children. And yes, working at Northlink College now on a permanent basis since 2022 in my current role there.
And what is your current role, Nico?
Yes, so I'm responsible for the entrepreneurial development in the college. It's a function that the college created to, you know, create that culture within the college to help students to become more entrepreneurial, to use their skills and what they learn at the college to serve themselves and, to move from that job seeker position to a job creator position. And so it's been an exciting journey. Not easy, but exciting.
And demanding. Now, you're at Northlink College. I was at False Bay College, and the Western Cape is blessed to have, I think it's six wonderful colleges, of which one of them is Northlink. Tell us a little bit about Northlink, if you don't mind.
Yes, so Northlink, the TVET colleges were created and came to be in 2002. And so it changed from an FET college to a TVET college in this time. And Northlink has seven campuses spread out from Wingfield there on Vanguard Drive, at the Army base, right through Tigerberg, Bellville, into Belhar. So we've got these seven campuses, quite a huge number of students that we have to care for. Mm. Currently, we're over 9,000 students enrolled. Sure. We just had another trimester enrollment. There's another semester coming and another trimester with a goal of accommodating in excess of 16,000 students for this year.
Sure.
So it's a massive organization with a huge staff complement.
Each college is unique, and it has certain things that it can look back with due pride. What are some of the things that Northlink has achieved that you can look back at, even though you've been there since 3 years ago? Is that correct? Three, four years ago?
Yeah, I was on a contract position there doing, in learnerships, wholesale and retail, since 2017. But on a permanent basis and in the current role since 2022. Mm. But, when I thought about the question of what have they achieved over all these years, I mean, we one of our campuses, Bellar, they've won the award of best campus in engineering or construction, campus for that for a number of years. We normally, and I say normally, and it sounds maybe arrogant, but it's not. When it comes to sports, arts, and culture, our teams do well. Academically, we have a good throughput rate. We have good pass rates. Mm. In some of the courses, we've got pass rates in the 90%. So it's a lot of those things that happened. And then there's, the way that I think the leadership, and often our principal, Mr. Brian Piquet, will say, we're not the best college, but we're definitely one that tries to not push the boundary, but are inventive.
Innovative.
And very innovative and progressive in the way that we do things. I'm just thinking recently we have an agreement between the University of KwaZulu-Natal and INSITO for to do more research so that the data, you know, that we have, the data that we have available is based on research. It's not just by accident, or we really dig into these things. We like the student exchange programs. There's a recent agreement signed with a Chinese institution from between 8 colleges in the country, and we're one of 50, to send 100 artisans over to China, even in this year. You know, the first 30 is lined up already, that those plans. So there's a lot of progressive things happening. And then again, you know, the focus on entrepreneurial development is something big, and you know, something that is busy being established and needs to grow.
With the amount of young people that you're talking about, 16,000, and you can imagine just in the Western Cape alone, the young people at the colleges, you're probably talking close to 100,000 every year. Yeah. And so the opportunity to change destiny, to do something significant that can impact unemployment, etc., and change that mindset from a job seeker to becoming a job creator, it's a wonderful opportunity. So what are some of the innovative things that have been introduced at Northlink, and how has that impacted the students?
I think that, you know, when it comes to the innovation, especially on the side of entrepreneurial development, I think the main thing is that there's a specific focus. Often, you know, there's a directive to say, get involved with entrepreneurial development and assign somebody to the role in addition to their current role. Whereas Northlink went and said, let's appoint somebody to run with it.
Took it to another level.
And what happens around that would then be, what is it that we're trying to establish? Mm. I think one of the big things that has happened is that we have an annual competition, an inter-college entrepreneurship competition. Mm. And as you engage with students and as you build this culture from having just over, I think, 30-odd entries.
Initially,
I had 108 submitted entries this year with over 400 people registering. So there were a lot of people looking through the window, but there's only 108 that opened the door. But 108 from where we were is a massive shift that has happened. And there's an excitement growing around it. We've started with under guidance, but we built on it the entrepreneurial ambassador. Mm. Through the SRC, which is under the Student Support Services. And we've got Mitle there this year in that role, and she's keeping me honest. And I tell you, she wants to know what's next, what does she need to do. And she makes sure that if there's a message that needs to go to the students, it floats through every campus's SRC and the person who's responsible for the entrepreneurial or the entrepreneurial officer. And I think those are little things that you do. And I think innovation is sometimes seen as this big thing, and it's actually just improving on what you've done. So this year, even in our competition, and it's the first time that we actually have a full squad that will go through to the regional round. So we're sending 8 people, and it's doing something different in the competition. Try to mimic the stage, you know, the way that it's done going to regionals and nationals, bringing a little bit of entertainment. I had 2 students there from our arts department that entertained them with singing while they're at lunch, you know, to make that waiting for the judges' deliberation a bit softer. So little things that we do, and the way that we involve more and more staff in this process, we even went and at each campus we had a pitching round so that they can pitch before they are selected to come and pitch on the bigger stage, and creating noise about it and just making more people aware that this is a thing that's happening. And obviously then there's the entrepreneurial mindset. It's a course that was brought to the TVET colleges through one of our strategic partners. And, you know, being able to then use technology. So over the past 2 years, and I'm just waiting for the final numbers, so I'm a couple of people short of 800 that I've trained over the last 2 years online training.
And that's you that have done that?
Yes.
Or have there been others as well?
No, that was me in collaboration with our online campus.
Okay.
One of the things that that Northlink has started at our Goodwood campus, it's online studies, and they have a huge number of students that's enrolled doing a subject that they must or that they have to catch up on, or they're doing part-time studies.
Hmm.
And using technology to reach a wider audience and do it in the evenings, and you have 800 people that actually were part of that program. And how that impacts them in the way that a lecturer says, okay, but my students are more engaged. My students are actually more talkative in the room, even though it's online, and that the way that they're thinking and how they take responsibility just by talking about something like having that entrepreneurial mindset.
So going back to that course, which both of us were fortunate to attend, and it was lovely, it was amazing, the entrepreneurial mindset. And thank you to partners like Alan Gray for driving and leading in that regard. But let's talk a little bit about that mindset training. It's extremely practical, but it says this, if I remember correctly, not everyone who goes through the course will necessarily become an entrepreneur. However, everyone who goes through the course will bring value to in whether they get employed or self-employed or start something. Their thinking, they'll take bigger steps. They'll be more courageous, etc. Do you want to just talk a little bit about that? And maybe give an example of one aspect of, I think there were about 8 things that we looked at in the entrepreneurial mindset.
Yes. The entrepreneurial mindset, it is said that in today's time, it's expected of everybody to think entrepreneurial, not to necessarily start a business, as you said. And if you look at some of the aspects that's covered, the first one, for instance, is all about choice. And we as individuals have a choice. And the first thing that we actually need to decide, and I think it's so pivotal, is that, what am I good for? What is my usefulness?
Mm.
Because I'm a useful being.
Yeah.
I wasn't created and just plonked down here on earth just to use somebody's oxygen. I'm a useful human being, and I need to discover my usefulness.
Yeah.
One of the things that I often joke about is, under choice is, are you a reactor or are you a responder?
Okay.
Now, sometimes when I'm driving, I'm very reactive to certain ways that certain groups of people drive, and then I'm reminded of that. Internal locus of control, that's one of the things that students like, is to say, but listen, who's in control of your life?
Yeah.
Is it are all external factors that just pushes into your life, or who's in control of your life? Those are things that they like quite a bit. And just to give an example, I also had recently did a TikTok on our Northlink social page.
I love it.
Yeah, on the word.
I'm doing TikTok.
Yes, on the word yet.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen it, but it's, I can't do it yet. I don't have that knowledge yet. I'm not where I want to be yet. And it's how important that is. People, family members from East London saying, oh, we're using the word yet when we go to the gym because I can't lift that weight yet. Or somebody else that said, actually, I thought I reached my ceiling in my career. One of the students of last week actually said, I'm a building inspector for so many years, and I really thought that I reached my ceiling, and there's a diploma that I need to do. But when you spoke about the word yet, I realized I can take control of my life. I had that lesson. I know which direction I want to go in, and I don't have the diploma yet, so my promotion is waiting for me. Based on what we've said,
the power of yet. Carol Dweck speaks about that, and we've spoken about it on radio, this radio station as well, in the growth mindset and the power of yet.
Yeah,
but that's lovely. Choices and how important that is. Someone said you make your choices, and then your choices make you. So you make good, strong, purposeful, consistent choices. It will take you further.
There's a certain measure of intentionality there.
You have to be.
Yeah. And I think that is one of the things that we, the message that we want to share as well. So today I was doing during an orientation session of the new trimester group, and we spoke about that aspect. You know, there were probably about 150 in the room, is that you need to be intentional. You're sitting here with an opportunity. Be intentional about it. Mm-hmm. Surround yourself with, I call it, the nowhere people and the somewhere people. If you're a somewhere person, you know where you want to go, please do not surround yourself with a nowhere person. It is easier for somebody being pulled down from a table than you to lift somebody else up.
Yeah.
So be careful who you surround yourself with, which is one of the lessons of the mindset.
Yeah.
You know, be intentional.
It sounds provocative, but actually we do need to sometimes to be challenged out of our comfort zone. And the comfort zone, of course, is another concept that we need to challenge. The comfort zone is comfortable because that's where we're safe and in control. But as Matt Bromley, that big surfer, big wave surfer, says, your best life lies outside of your comfort zone.
Indeed.
So,
indeed.
So talk to us a little bit about some successes that you've experienced and seen in the TVET space, maybe over the last 2 to 3 years. Maybe starting with, you said that when you initially started with the competition, there was about 30 enrollments, and that's nearly tripled or more than tripled. But how many of them have gone on and actually won in the final?
Okay, so we have not had a winner in the final from Northlink College. I think the Western Cape colleges did fairly well.
Yes.
Because in the first year, we had one person from Falsbury College. In their category, we had one person from Boerland College. In their category, and interestingly enough, we've asked the good lady from Falsbury College to actually be a keynote speaker at an event coming up, on a youth day event,
okay,
celebrating youth in entrepreneurship, and she agreed. So very excited about that. But that is somebody that won at national level, but has gone on to grow and establish, and really made it her purpose to create this business that you need to take note of. I've had one person from our college that went to nationals, and when I asked him that evening, so how do you feel about the prize giving? You know, I said, sir, I've won. Doesn't matter if they give me a check or not.
How profound is that?
I've built connections. I've made friends. I've had this experience. That very same person was a judge in our internal round this year. So I brought him in as somebody that actually competed at national level to say, but listen, you know, are you willing to judge the next group of people that's coming through? And what a stunning job he did. You know, so how do you measure those type of successes? It's small, it's slow, it's a process, and you need to be be intentional. We have entrepreneurs that has come through the college. I've always made it my goal in the internal round, because I have a lot that I can do where I'm not guided to do it differently, is to say every time I have judges, have a repeat judge.
Okay.
Make sure there's consistency. Have people from industry. Have people from support services like a NYDA or a SEDFA. And then also have an entrepreneur that sat on the benches not too long ago that can relate to the students being there, and the students can relate to them. And we've always had the opportunity to have an entrepreneur. Some of those entrepreneurs, you know, first time I saw the one person, you know, I said, you are committing the cardinal sin in entrepreneurship. You're working from your personal account. I said, this stops today. And, so she opened a bank account. Today, she's our host employer to some of our students.
Wonderful.
You know, so there's all these little things that we experience. And that, I think, is one of the things that we need to look at as specifically in the TVET sector, where we are busy with practical things. When these entrepreneurs establish themselves, they become a source of hope for another group that's coming through. They know what it takes, and they can be a mentor, and they can be a host employer to guide them through the process of being qualified.
Beautiful. You know, Nico, Northlink College is one of the colleges that the NBI is involved with. I think we're working currently with 9 colleges, and our goal is to look at about 17, 18 eventually, where we want to establish hubs, etc. And part of the journey is to recognize that it's not sufficient just to have a center or a hub, but it's important for the institution in its culture, in its curriculum, in its values, in its policy, every way to be entrepreneurial. We call it the Entrepreneurial Learning Institution track. What I'm hoping that this podcast that we're going to get, I'm hoping to share it with some of those colleges. And it's not an easy journey. It's not a short journey. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. But what are some of the gains that you can see, not specifically from support from NBI, but gains by being focused, gains by saying, let's focus on what we can do, not only on what we can't. What are some of the things that you would say which would be an encouragement to the colleges that we're working with, including Northlink?
I think, Steve, when you look at it, and I think it's one of the mindset rules or principles coming in, they call it lessons, is that it is not about the resources necessarily that you have, but how resourceful you are. Wow. And that, I think, is a very important aspect. Now, you know, having a collaborative partnership with an organization like the NBI, it is critically important. If any college can have the opportunity to work with organizations like the NBI, it kind of steps it up.
It does.
And, we have this push-pull idea that we have in life that, you know, there's this push-pull effect. But I think when we start to collaborate, when we start to coordinate activities,
align,
then it's a pull-push-pull effect. So it comes from all sides.
Yeah.
And, you know, a person like yourself, with all your experience, to have access to mentors, even for, well, I'm not that young, but then maybe in experience, I'm younger than another person. And in a pool of people, there are resources that's available. And if you use it in a very resourceful manner, there's growth that's linked to it. So the NBI is important. Everywhere you want to go and look for opportunities, there's always a, but what is your, what's your track record like?
Establishing credibility.
Yes, that credibility thing. Now there's an opportunity, and even with Northlink, and I know with other colleges, an opportunity arise, what are you going to do? Are you going to take it, even though it's going to be hard, even though it's going to be difficult, even it's going to cost, you know, effort from your side? Or are you going to look at it and say, well, I'm comfortable, I get a salary, I work in government, I work in a college? Or are you going to have that entrepreneurial mindset and say, yes, opportunity, sure, let's take it, let's run with it? At the end of the day, if you do it well, and when you do it well, which I surely hope, then that creates reputational value.
Yeah.
And that will allow you to grow. So yes, Northlink wants to set up a center, but the center is not the entrepreneurial culture. It is just the base.
That's right.
And the building that entrepreneurial culture, get staff involved, you know, creating a vibe around it, all those things will add up at the end of the day. We had an opportunity with one of our major corporates in South Africa. Now, I'm mindful on the radio, don't always want to call names, ne? But you know what? They can be. Okay, so Santam Insurance came to us, and they went to other colleges as well. So now in this month, ourselves and Boland College have the opportunity to have two seminars each with our numbers that we gave through, to that somebody that they contract will come and speak to students in the trades, in our engineering, in our construction, and specifically on the trades, for how to move from job seeker to job creator.
Sure.
And there's an opportunity, so you know, we hope to then fill up the room, and 200-plus people can be exposed to 5 hours that might change their life. They might become that job creator, and it changes the socioeconomic situation in families. And it's, you know, some people didn't react to the call, and some did. And now there's an opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think that is really what it boils down to. And don't think that I haven't been after our Santam Insurance. I wanted to work with them.
Yeah.
But if you're patient as well, but you are intentional, but you're also patient,
yeah,
that you know that, you know, there's principles in life that what you sow, you reap. What goes around comes around. And if your intention is right and you put it in the flow, it will come back to you somewhere, somehow. And that the type of support that you get from organizations, you know, it's fantastic. Like you mentioned, Alan Gray, mm-hmm. with the Mindset Course, the competition, and then other institutions as well. You know, you have to latch onto that, and you have to have that entrepreneurial mindset and say, "It's an opportunity. What are you going to do? Are you going to let it go by?"
When I look at you, I'm reminded of that nugget that I shared. The level of energy that you bring to the room is one of your most valuable assets. And I can see you are energized. I'm like that too. I get excited and I think, you know, that everyone must think like this. But thank you for that. So I just want to – two more things. What is the motto that you live by? You know, we all tend to live by a motto, a thinking process. What's your motto, Nico?
You know what, Steve? I've got a very clear vision.
Okay.
My personal vision, so I can tell you.
Yeah.
It is to create a positive impact in South Africa through entrepreneurial development, giving hope to future generations.
Sure.
That's what gets me up in the morning. You can wake me up in the middle of the night. I can recite it. And that is what drives me. We've got a wall in our house that, you know, we like entrepreneurship. It sometimes is a bit messy.
Mm-hmm.
It's trial and error, and it's, you know, fall and get up again. And the wallpaper was a total flop. It was a disaster. And then one day I took a pen, you know, Koki, and I wrote a quote on the wall. That whole wall is full of quotes now. So now we have the task of making the wall nice, but changing it over. But one of the things that's been sticking in my mind lately was the through, for, to principle. Now, that's something I coined. And when we speak to people and you ask them, write down your vision, they can't because they're not clear on it. I said, but we as individuals, we as human beings were created to serve.
Mm.
And we serve other people. So through Nico, for whom... To achieve what?
Okay.
So
through for two. Okay.
So through me, you know, I have that clear understanding that I need to bring entrepreneurial development for whom? For the youth.
Yeah.
Why? To create hope. To achieve what? To create hope. And it's clear where I want to do it. It's in South Africa. And if you ask me, you know, if I need to label myself, I'd say I'm a white African. You know, I love this country. I love this continent.
I because, saw with
your hat. Yes. You know, at the end of the day, it is helping people to understand through you, Steve, for other people, something needs to happen to achieve a goal.
Yeah.
And each of us, if we have that notion, that is something that I ponder about and on quite a lot. Oh, and there's a lot of things. Whatever leaves your hand never leaves your life, you know. Your life is at risk without faith.
Now you're starting to take all those.
Now I'm taking all the stuff from the wall. But when I the other morning I was sitting looking at the wall and I said, okay, here's some very deep stuff here. Take note, take one, and walk with it.
Yeah.
Because there's not one recipe that is all fulfilling in this sense that we're speaking now. But the through four two principle that I'm coining, you know, I think it works.
I think that's also authentic to you. So our listeners are not necessarily at a TVET college. They are not necessarily all entrepreneurs, but they all want to live life more fully. They listen to this wonderful music station. So what final encouragement would you share with them in being entrepreneurial, not necessarily being an entrepreneur? What one thing could you say as an encouragement to our listeners?
You know, listeners, as we go through life, there are many people with many problems. And problems are only opportunities in disguise. And when you look at the problem, you fall in love with the problem. You understand the problem. It's like the root of a tree. If you know what is making the root sick, you know, obviously the fruit won't be good. But if you really can focus in on that, and if something drops in you, drops in your spirit, you know, be action-oriented.
Mm.
Because so often opportunities pass us by or a situation passes by because we just didn't take action. it's kind of like a rocket launch, you know. If there's this thing happening in your head, the countdown must start. You know, 3, 2, 1, launch. Mm. And I think that is something that we're too passive. And in life, you know, if something needs to happen, be intentional of just taking action. And please do not try to be perfect. You know, the entrepreneurial thing is really a trial and error
thing. It's messy.
Yeah, it's micro-experimentation. Bake that new cake, you know, even if it's not tasting well. But trial and error. Don't be scared to try things. Just take action, do stuff, and learn from it. Because that's the best school that we can go to.
Thank you, Nico. Just thinking about that, listeners, we're saying one small intentional step. Take that opportunity, and who knows who may be affected.
Thank you very much for that, Nico. Very, very insightful. And the one thing about radio that people can't see is passion. They can hear it, but they can't see it. And it definitely comes through in what you said and in your voice. But I was watching your hand gestures, and the kind of hand gestures were coming out there. It said passion, passion, passion. And I think that's one of the things that certainly does drive you. So thank you for being here this afternoon and for sharing that story with us. Steve, what have we got now in 2 weeks' time?
It's not going to be in 2 weeks' time.
Isn't it?
That's here. Yeah, I'm taking my beloved away to Mauritius for our
anniversary. Oh, that's nice. Oh, there you go. Okay.
And sadly that we won't be here, but we'll be there.
You'll be
but
there.
But what we will be doing
What's wrong with a phone call?
What we will be doing is, but after that, we'll be hopefully bringing in the MD of CMR, and I haven't confirmed that yet, so let's put him a bit under pressure.
Yes.
To bring in another institution with another thought about how they, just like Zone Radio, just like Northlink, are in entrepreneurial.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of CMR, and it's a remarkable story. I must say, though, that while you were talking, Nico, I was going through the website of your college, Northlink College, and it really is well put together with all the information there. So if anybody does need to go and find out about it, just go and Google Northlink. And that website tells you everything. Yes. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for being here this afternoon. Have a great evening. And stay warm, because it's going to get chilly, folks. It's going to get chilly.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, listeners. And thank you, Nico.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure and a privilege.